Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's a Full Force Weekly.
Yeah, it is. How are you doing, my good man?
It's been a busy week, but I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I feel that it has been one of those weeks that just punches you in the face over and over and over again. And you just go on to the next one. It's been a battle this week, I think. It's been a Battle Force 2000. How's everyone's week's been in the chat? I've seen a few of you commenting already. Hello, Windblade. Hello, A Toy Kind of Mood. Hello, Trav. Hello, RKW. Hello, Newfie. Paisano. Luke. Bo. Paisano again. Wilfredo. Jamie Lynn. Yorktown Joe. Hello, everybody. Hope everyone is doing really well, having a good morning and a good start to your weekend. We're here to kick it off in the right way, aren't we, Pat? Even though we're both moaning about how difficult our week's been.
Yeah, well, to put it in perspective, I opened my computer yesterday and still had like all the notes for last week's show up.
Good work. He was like, hang on, we've covered this already, but why am I talking about this again?
I didn't have like time at my computer across the week. It's been that rough.
Yeah, well, again, we've made it to Saturday. It's chill time. It's chill town. You got to work later, haven't you? So, damn it, man. Anyway, let's get into the news this week. There's been a few interesting things popping up this week. We've had comics news. We've had classified kind of sort of news. I suppose it would be leaked news. And we've had third party news, which I think is going to bring up a pretty decent discussion on this particular episode today. I will preface this by saying that the Hasbro interview that I did with Emily, Lenny and Tony has happened. It is now fully edited. It is ready to drop. I'm probably going to put it up this weekend after I get an element of approval. But it's a bit easier this time because it's just me texting Emily and saying, can I put that up yet? And she'll be like, yeah, go on then. So, hopefully that'll happen this weekend. So look out for that possibly tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. Worst case, it'll be dropping on Monday. So that will be coming out then, either Sunday or Monday. Now, let's get on to the news today. And we'll start with Chris's Comic Corner. Yes, we had, actually quite a lot of comics news this week.
Any spoilers this week?
Oh, tons. Good point, Pat. Good point. Yes, we've got a lot of spoilers this week.
So maybe I need to pull out the spoiler hat?
Yeah, get the spoiler hat on. Get the spoiler hat on. Oh, and glasses. He's going full on.
Well, the glasses were just dirty, so.
Oh, I see you were cleaning them. That's me not noticing anything.
Pat's spoiler hat
is on, which
so
means.
If you don't want spoilers, just mute it. When I take the hat off, you're A-okay. Spoilers are done.
I like this. This is great. Although the thing is, they can just look at the screen with all the spoilers on it and probably can go like, yeah, I'll probably stop looking now. Anyway, yeah, so we've got Duke issue 5 dropped this week, which was an absolute belter once again and completes the miniseries for Duke, but it doesn't complete the story arc. Obviously, there's a lot more going on. Also, we got Cobra Commander issue 5 cover reveals, bevy of them, which are pretty awesome. We'll go through those as well in this segment. And the major spoilers that will be happening in this particular segment, a couple of posters have shown up in-store posters for the Scarlet and Destro Energon Universe miniseries comics that are coming in the future. Now, on those particular posters, there are characters that will appear in those miniseries. New characters that haven't been dropped as such in terms of information yet. So that, again, if you are trying to keep non-spoiler-free on this one, then obviously just, turn off. Maybe watch this another time and never come back ever again. Anyway, looks better than the nitpick hat, says RKW.
Oh, Yeah, well, the nitpick hat is, that's just, yeah, we've never really seen what that looks like, because that's a mask helmet,
Yeah,
right?
that's just a mask helmet. Yeah, so
Yeah, and this isn't like spoiler hat, as in the adventure team's going to be in it.
I... No, it's not one that's giving it away. Yeah. The spoilers incoming, says Pastor Pierogi. I like that. Why didn't I think of that? That's something, that's like a dad joke I would have come up with, and I'm really upset. Yeah. Right, cool. Let's do it. So, Duke, issue 5. This was a beauty. Again, like, it was a, I thought this was a really good mini series. Again, very Chuckles in Cobra-esque, like that kind of Costa Gage vibe. I've mentioned it before. I feel like it is definitely kind of captured that sort of feeling with this particular mini series. Quite brutal in parts. This obviously, this is the kind of showdown between Duke and the Battle Android Trooper, as you can see on the actual comic cover. And Duke does come out victorious, believe it or not. Now, the kind of main kind of point in this is that we are getting to that stage where Duke is sort of has caused this major issue for Destro, Mercer, and Mars Industries. He's kind of like been a bit of a thorn in their side the entire miniseries, and in basically having Duke come to their kind of HQ, he kind of like he basically destroys it, ends up destroying it. Or I say that, but Scrap Iron technically ends up destroying it. So we have this kind of moment where the Stinger appears as well, which is kind of cool. And I think everyone went directly to, "Ooh, is this what the Stinger's going to look like in the Classified series?" And I think everyone kind of had that feeling about it. Pat, just out of interest, mate, I know you're behind at the moment on the comics. Have you had any progression in the Duke miniseries yet at all?
I haven't had any progression in like the last 2 weeks. I haven't had time.
Totally understand it. I was just going to say, I wasn't sure if you'd seen the Stinger image yet or
No,
not.
I haven't seen that.
So there's two panels where it shows up. I'm not going to show them on screen just for the spoiler thing. I'll just talk about it while you've got the spoiler hat on. And there is definitely a vibe of it looks like the Vamp with the weapon system on the back, which I know is effectively what the Stinger is, but as in the Classified Vamp. It looks like the Classified Vamp with the weapon system on the back. So you kind of, I know they're probably utilizing materials of Hasbro's. They may even be using a design directly of a possible Classified Stinger, or they might just be getting the Vamp and, adorning it in the way that they feel it will look. And the other thing to kind of point out is that not everything actually has been directly classified related. I think Torch wasn't like didn't he didn't seem to have the kind of flame tattoos on his arms anyway, but I'll have to double check that. And I think like the fact that Torch has shown up in the Cobra Commander comics, I would probably it kind of makes me wonder if they're just using kind of more generic designs for some of those figures that they might not have had the information for before when those comics were being developed. So it's one of those things where you kind of go, oh, it could be, or but on the other hand, they might just be making stuff up as they go along, which is totally understandable. Now, the actual issue is really cool, and obviously they leave Duke to kind of like almost like he's on the he's literally on the verge of death, basically, at this in this HQ after kind of causing all these problems for Destro and Mercer and so on. And they get away in the Stinger. Scrap Iron blows the place up, and everyone thinks done, and Duke is dead. It turns out that no, obviously it's that classic kind of G.I. Joe joining the G.I. Joe team kind of trope situation where you're, presumed dead, and then you're in the G.I. Joe team sort of thing with like a fresh kind of clean slate, as it were. So yeah, he's kind of it's all reported on the news and everything that that Duke, passed away. There's an element of sort of like, how can I put it? Like it's not really the truth that's being reported is effectively what's happening in the news. So people are getting this one thing, and the reality of it is completely different. So one good way of, clearing Duke's name, I guess, is by having him killed off. Now, because he was blamed for all the murders that happened earlier to like Dr. Odell Burkhart, and all like the people that were at her, residence when the Iron Grenadier kind of like SWAT team came in and took everyone out. And yeah, so you get to this point where Duke's in a hospital bed. There's Colonel Hawk. There's Courtney Covergirl Krieger. Who else is in there? There's a few others in there as well, kind of like on the team. And yeah, and he's basically, you know, decides to join the G.I. Joe team at that point. And so that's the end of that kind of like mini series, kind of like in a little bow, done, sorted. And again, I've got to say, really impressed with this series, really impressed with it. And I love what the Energon universe is cooking up as this alternate G.I. Joe and kind of almost class, the only real classified media as well, I would say, that kind of, you know, ties into it. So that's really cool. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Now, let us know in the comments if you've read Duke, the miniseries, if you've read this issue, like what were your thoughts about it? Let us know in the comments and maybe I'll come back to that as before we get to the end of it. Let us know what you thought about this issue and, of course, the whole miniseries as a whole. Right then, next up we have a number of Cobra Commander covers that popped up for issue 5. And yes, I have done that thing where I forgot to get that thing up on my phone before opening this image up. And I've completely forgotten who all is involved in these covers. Mark, I think, is probably watching. Maybe you could just tell us, Mark, rather than me fumbling through the thing, which I've managed to do. So here we go. You can tell me if I'm correct or not. So cover A, I believe, is on the left-hand side. And that is by Andrea Milani and Annalisa Leone. And that's quite a nice kind of classic Cobra Commander. You've got the cape, you've got the staff, you've got, and when I say staff, I mean that in both ways. You've got his employees and his and his snake staff. Now, what do you think about that one first, Pat? Do you like that as an image?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't really have anything to add to it. It looks good. It makes me feel like I'm looking at somebody's Cobra Army Builder shelf.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I wonder if that was like the, you know, one of the things where they... Because I've seen so many Army Builder shelves like this, where you've got a kind of like... it's almost like a Empire kind of vibe of them standing on a podium and like looking at all of their you know, their soldiers and everything. It's a pretty... Like when you kind of... When I first saw it, I was like, okay, yeah, it's Cobra Commander standing in front of his troops. And then I took a closer look and I'm like, actually, there's a lot of them there. That's actually quite a lot of, I mean, it's a big space. How do Cobra get away with operating on such a stealthy underground sort of level and yet have places like this that go unnoticed?
Yeah, I don't know. I've always liked to think about where Cobra's money comes from. And obviously, they've alluded to it being like a pyramid schemes and things yeah. like that. But
yeah, do you know what's funny? I had this conversation with a couple of people before, and it's that thing of like Cobra, like out here trying to run take over the world. They already have done. Look at the amount of money, weapons, vehicles, troops. They've already done it. Like they've already reached the pinnacle. They've got Mars Industries involved. They've got extensive enterprises involved. There is literally nothing else for them to achieve. Do you know what I mean? It just makes me laugh at like the disproportionate, especially in the cartoon. The cartoon was the best one because it would be like, oh, we've got this weather dominator. We've got this, you know, this mass device. We've got this, and it's like you have everything. What are you still after? Like...
That is true. That is true. You could just calm down and, you know, buy whatever car you want instead and whatever large house to live in.
Isn't it? It's just like, chill out. You're multi-billionaires. Like what? In fact,
like every time your castle blows up, you just have another castle.
Exactly. Do you know this is something I found very funny the other day. I was thinking about Zartan and how he operates as almost like a freelance kind of guy and how he's like, this will cost you this much and this gem and that gem and this much. And then I'm like, dude, why are you still living in a shack? Bear in mind, yeah, it does kind of transform into like a computer zone and everything. But like, they all live like they're homeless, the Dreadnoughts and like Zartan. And I'm like, they must have so much money now, like so much from all of the jobs they've been doing for Cobra and their affiliates. It just made me laugh to think that they still want to live in the swamp, basically.
Yeah, there definitely would be a branch of G.I. Joe that is purely looking at the books, you know, looking for the money trail of Cobra.
That's Jinx's job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I guess so, right?
But like I kind of the needs to well actually they kind of added a few, didn't they? That, oh my goodness. Sorry, I just noticed the super chat. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Crystal. Apologies. 25 thank you for that. Really appreciate that. That's very nice of you. Thank you. Ed the Straight Edge isn't here today because he's getting ready to celebrate turning 45. I want to get him a shout out for when he gets to watch this video. Please, with my darling cheesebag, wish my darling cheesebag a happy birthday. That is amazing, Crystal. Happy birthday to Ed the Straight Edge. Ed,
happy birthday, Ed.
That's amazing. Have a great day. Crystal, you're the best. That is incredible. You didn't, by the way, we really appreciate the super chat, but my goodness, you did not have to do that. If you'd have just posted that, I would have seen it and we would have said, just I'll pay you back if you want. I feel really guilty. But thank you so much. That is amazing. And massive shout out to Ed. Big fan of the show and always in the comments usually. So yeah, big shout out to Ed and to Crystal as well. Have a great day. And yeah, it's congrats on turning 45, my man. That's awesome. Happy birthday, cheese bag. Right. Thank you, Crystal. And thank you to amazing stuff. I can't believe I missed that for so long. Apologies. And Crystal said, lol, it's all good. Just wanted to support something my husband loves. That's awesome. That is amazing.
I appreciate that.
That's so nice. Happy birthday. Everyone in the comments, come on. You know what to do. Wish him happy birthday and all the love in the world. That's amazing. Awesome. Okay. Mark says it's a lifestyle choice in response to them wanting to take over the world, even though they've already got there. I like it. What else are we saying? Okay. Oh, Eben says congrats on over 5,000 subscribers. Thank you, Eben. That's very kind of you. We were very happy that we broke that kind of milestone. Very happy to do that. Here's to a million more, right, Pat?
Yeah, I hope so.
If we get a million more, then Pat gets paid finally. That's amazing, isn't it? then we have.
If we get a million more, and Articulated Points is still lingering around 500. I'll be sad.
No way. We'll have swallowed you up at that point and just be putting that. You'd be putting out stuff on our channel until we can separate you again to be. If we got millions, forget about it, mate. It's never going to happen because there aren't that many people that like G.I. Joe, are there? Let's face it.
No, I don't think there are. Yeah.
I don't think there have been that many people that like G.I. Joe over the entire course of its history. That would be quite interesting to know. I want to know who are G.I. Joe fans forever. Okay, cover B is by Mateus Santoluco, and I believe that is the one on the right because I can see his signature.
You can see Santoluco on the side, yeah.
Yeah, so that's an easy one. And this is nice. This is the... Weren't we talking about this last week? Didn't you talk about having Destro in the reflection of Cobra Commander's mask to get, like, an infinity sort of thing going?
Yeah, I wanted an infinity, though, so that they're both looking at each other and you could just see each other infinitely.
Yeah, they've avoided that, and they've just got Destro kind of reflected in the mask. But it's still pretty nice. I do like this this kind of vibe, this idea. Yeah, it's a nice one. It's not the first time we've seen Cobra Commander's mask used as a sort of like frame, as it were, for the actual comic, and then like the reflection in it is the kind of, you know, it is also the important part technically. But it's just a very nice, very cool vibe here, and the fact that Destro and Cobra Commander are looking at each other insinuates some, you know, kind of communion happening at the end of Cobra Commander miniseries, which is again very exciting. Joey says that second cover is sick. It is really cool, Joey, isn't it? I really like that one. Shout out to Joey, who will be also popping up later on in the episode, because it was Joey who posted the images of Raptor, which we'll be looking at a little bit later on. Anyway, So again, what out of these two, Pat, which is your favorite?
That's honestly, it's kind of a tough choice because I would hone in on the shape of Cobra Commander's helmet, but they're very similar and they're good. Maybe the one on the right.
Okay, we're going for Santa Luco's on this one. I'm gonna also say Santa Luco's. I think it's like a nice kind of idea with the reflection and everything. I'm digging it. So yeah, that one for me. But nothing taken away from the first one because that is kind of cool as well with all of the troops in front as well. I like actually one thing that I didn't mention before. I like how the red carpet down the middle is sort of framing Cobra Commander, so you don't lose.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't lose him in the background of all the troops.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you know, you've got that thing where the bottom is kind of all dark and mysterious because he's in that like podium section. And so he kind of like rises out of that. And that kind of the carpet is almost following the shape as well. It's very, very nicely done. So, yeah, I'm big into both of these. We also have these two beauties. Now, cover C is the connecting issue, and it is a variant by Brian Reber and Chris Burnham. And this is nice too. This is kind of like, again, this is going to be kind of connecting covers, so it's part of multiples. But we've got troops in the background, we've got the Hiss tank, we've got Cobra Commander kind of in front, and that light shining from the back going forward is quite an interesting effect as well, casting the shadows in front of them. What do you think of that one, mate?
Again, every time you mention the connecting covers, I just kind of want to see them connected.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, Mark's posted Cobra Commander to Destro. Did we just become best friends? Yes, mate. 100%. They're going to get up to so many activities, aren't they? Destro and Cobra Commander. Anyway, yeah. Stepbrothers jokes all over the place. We've also got that Mercer cover on the right, which is an absolute beauty. And that is Brian Lavelle, or Level. I think it's Lavelle. And Mercer is looking hench on that one, isn't he? He's like the Hulk. That is a Hulk. That's Red Hulk on the cover of Cobra Commander issue 5.
Yeah, he's looking huge. But that's consistent with how he's been so far for this series. But yeah, he's a big guy.
I like that they're going that direction because it kind of adds another bit of muscle to kind of Cobra's ranks, and then you get the feeling that his story arc is going to obviously go towards G.I. Joe at some point, but at the moment I can't really see how that happens. Maybe they do introduce the Sarge at some point. Maybe that would be kind of freaking cool, and maybe he does like whip Mercer, Taurus and Red Dog into shape, and we get the, like, you know, the original Renegades and everything.
I honestly kind of thought that maybe we would get a Mercer miniseries.
Do you know what? That would be pretty cool. Considering we've got a lot of the characters that we saw on those early covers that showed different like groups of characters for the Joes and the Cobra on those the early issue covers. So it wouldn't be surprising to get something. And honestly, if a miniseries of Mercer is to happen, how perfect to do a little story arc of him turning from Cobra to Joe. Like, it would just be...
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, build him up as a character within Cobra so that we see him for a while as a Cobra. I think that's an excellent choice. That's
big time.
Definitely one of the pluses of this book, in my opinion.
Pastor Brogy says, is that going to be Chris around Christmas? No, mate. I'm Xandar for Christmas. I'm not Mercer for Christmas. My plan, Pat, is to get into shape so that I can cosplay Xandar with my bits out. Well, my top bits out. But with Mercer, the only way that's going to happen is if I start juicing, like Joey's just mentioned. Like get on the roids to get like that. My goodness. RKW says, I'm surprised Pat has not mentioned the size of the Hiss tank.
Well, it's kind of in the background, though.
Yeah, it's, compared to the troop to the closest to it, you could argue there might be a bit of space between the Hiss tank and that troop as well, for perspective reasons. But I don't know. I'm looking at the Hiss tank that I've got on my shelf. You know, the HasLab one, and the head of the actual figure comes up to around about that, just above that kind of split in the middle, where you got that kind of like top and bottom, where the top and the bottom meet, and there's that kind of line that runs down the thing. So it's not far off. I mean, the head's over that, obviously, but I don't know, it could be a bit of a perspective thing there. I'm not too fussed about that. But then again, Pat, are you fussed about that?
No, well, it looks like the his tank is coming from around the side of the building, whereas the trooper's standing in line with the other troops in front of the building.
Okay.
So I am getting the feeling that it's farther away from the perspective of everything.
I like that. I like that a lot. The cover with Cobra Commander looking over his troops would make a sweet poster, says Johnny B54. That one, right? That would actually.
Yeah, that would make a sweet poster. So that's a good point.
Big
if I had to have one of the two of them as a poster, the left one would definitely be the answer.
It's a good point, actually, because there's different formats for each thing, isn't it, really, a lot of the time?
Yeah.
Eben has said, I know you guys are talking comics, but when is the G.I. Joe video game coming out that has been announced? At the moment, Eben, it seems to be the case where they were going to come out quarter one of 2024, but... it was only going to be on Steam and PC, PC and Nintendo Switch. But they wanted to do a full rollout over all platforms, and they were going to do that over time. But I think the decision was made that they wanted to release them all at release on all platforms at the same time. So obviously that takes a little bit more time, so there was a delay put in place to kind of get to that point. That's where we are at the moment. We don't know when it's going to be released, but it's going to have to be soon because we've seen the demo drop recently. We've had the technical launch trailer already. So it's probably not too far away, but and we don't have an official date set right yet.
Cool. And I don't think either of us have had... Somebody else asked if either of us have had the time to play, and I still have not.
Have I had the time to correctly download it yet? No. Have I had the time to work out how to do that properly and not get into this? The problem I'm having is that I have a Mac and I have an Xbox One S. And the Mac requires that I have something like a certain version of... what's it called? The operating system. An older version, and it past that the certain games aren't available to download on my Mac for it, and so because of that I can't download it on my PC, on my laptop. The problem with Xbox is the way you can do it is by like downloading, I think, like Microsoft Edge or something, and then getting it from there. It's just a pain in the butt. So because it's not easy, I haven't been able to do it yet. But I definitely want to play it. So I've seen loads of people playing it on videos and stuff, and I'm getting so like, oh, I want to play it. But again, I think, Pat, I think you were in the mindset of waiting for it to come out officially anyway, weren't you? Because you don't want to be kind of spoiled.
I didn't want it spoiled. I wanted to play it, but then there's also a part of me that's like, well, what if there's some problem and I don't get around to it, or I can't? At least I would have played the demo. But I've just been too busy. I haven't had time.
I'll tell you what, I'll make time for when the bloody actual game comes out. I'll tell you that much. Right then. Those covers are pretty dope. Like I said, that is Brian Reber and Chris Burnham on the left-hand side. The connecting variant and incentive variant cover D is Brian Lavelle with Mercer on that one as well. And then finally, this is actually another nice one. And again, it's very like, you know, Cobra and his troops kind of vibe, almost like setting up the actual beginning of Cobra in its entirety sort of thing. And we've got like your kind of classic retro Cobra Commander vibe going on the cover. And then you've got that kind of like the group of troops, and they've gone for something slightly different here, Pat, which I'm not sure if is something you've kind of recognized, but different shapes, sizes, genders. Also, there's like a lot of difference with these troops, whereas some of the other shots we've seen, every like troop is the exact same height. It's almost like stormtroopers and stuff, isn't it? Clones,
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, that's a good point. They did kind of vary up everybody in here. That one arm is huge.
I think it's oh actually no, it is quite long, isn't it? Yeah. It's because there's another arm behind it, which makes it look like an even longer arm.
Yeah, and then there's a person in front of that person that is much smaller. No, it's good though. I like the fact that they changed things up, and it kind of feels a little bit like the classified figures where you can put the goggles on, only this is a red visor, so it's different than that classified figure.
Yeah. I wonder if that's anything to go by. I wonder
if some of them even have the, like, there's one with the, like, Cobra officer triangle thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of that should be. I just called it a triangle thing.
Chevron?
Well, it's not really a chevron, though. Right?
V?
I don't know. It's definitely meant to evoke kind of a chevron, so maybe it is, and I just didn't know that there's a different shape that would be also called a chevron.
Maybe it's chevron backwards, which would be Norvec. That's so hard to work out. I can't think of their things backwards. But anyway, yeah, that we'll have to do some research on that, Pat, to work out what that kind of shape is called. It is a very specific shape as well, isn't it? Like, let's face it.
It is, yeah.
And no, that's, you're right.
What is the background behind Cobra Commander? I think it's kind of techie, right?
What I originally thought when I first caught a glimpse of it, it looked like the G.I. Joe HQ from the Sunbow series. I know it's not, but it kind of had that kind of vibe. So maybe it's just like a Cobra HQ or installation, or like futuristic sort of building or something. But it's definitely got like, it's almost like a Gundam vibe for me here. I don't know why. It's just screaming Gundam to me.
Yeah, this looks, again, it looks good.
Yeah, it's beauty. And this one is, I think I said at the beginning, did I? Or I can't remember if I did or not. But this is Dustin Nguyen. So this is cover E, another variant incentive, a beauty. Anyway, those are the Cobra Commander covers. Now, there's a more interesting...
Are we done with the spoiler hat?
No. This is, you need to put two hats on for this one, Pat, because this is the major spoiler. Major. Next up, guys, if you don't want to know what's coming in Scarlet and Destro miniseries, then now is the time to back out. But we're going to go forward right now. We've said all the warnings we need to say. We've got some posters to look at. And one of them here is for Scarlet. Now, these are in-store Energon Universe posters for promotional kind of, you know, promotional materials for the upcoming miniseries. And they're kind of like, this store is under the protection of the Arashikage, which is cute. You've got Scarlet on there. You've got Jinx, who we knew was going to be involved in this miniseries already. We had inclination of Storm Shadow being involved. There was like a bit of wording that said another character was going to be turning up. We all expected it to be Storm Shadow. Looks like it's going to be. And then we also have Snowjob in there too, which I really like how they've drawn him on this. I think he looks pretty cool. And again, a very big burly looking dude as well in this grouping, and also I should probably point out very much the classified version of Jinx as well, the sleeveless with that kind of like tattoo vibe on her right arm, which I know, Pat, that might come up in a bit of conversation now. But what are your, first of all, let's talk about the snow job introduction here. They're gonna have to be in the snow at some point, obviously.
Yeah, I suppose so. I would say that Storm Shadow and Snow Job look like classified versions as well.
Oh yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. I meant as in, you know, because Jinx specifically, because of the fact that we could have had a classic Jinx, if you know what I mean. Like the other two are kind of almost there already, but Jinx is
true.
Jinx is so sort of different that, yeah, you get that vibe. But no, you're right, because if you look at Snowjob, you've got the grey and the white things happening, like the kind of random grey and white blocks on his body.
I'm not really getting tattoo. Like, her arm definitely has a tattoo on it.
Yeah.
But it also just kind of looks sore. It's just kind of...
yeah. She's just been hit repeatedly with a stick on her arm over and over again. That's what's happened there.
Yeah, I mean, this is fine. I don't know. I don't love the put a tattoo on it, put a scar on it approach of some of the redesigns that we've gotten. But
yeah,
whatever.
What about a scar tattoo?
Well, maybe that's what some of them have already been.
Amazing. Yeah, so that's the Scarlet Post. And now there's another one as well that's popped up, which is again quite a I wouldn't say if this is a spoiler as such, because we don't know who the other character is, but look, this store has signed with Mars Industries, which is cute. I like that as well. And obviously this is regarding the Destro miniseries, and we have the twins, which again have been alluded to in this issue in the I'm speaking in my mouth, in the text and the blurb and everything. But there's another character in there, Pat. Who do you think that could be? It's a newie, it's a female.
Or it's a new appearance of somebody we already know.
Okay. Are you thinking, because I think my mind immediately went to someone like Cobra Mortal or like Ghost Bear or someone like that, where there's kind of like a similar deco sort of vibe. Could it
I was
be?
almost wondering if maybe it could have been Unisha
Oh yeah, could be, you know.
with the especially with the goggles kind of thing going on.
Oh, do you know what? Munition isn't a bad shout. Could it be the Baroness?
It could be a lot of characters. It could even be we could even be seeing a Mercer situation where in this world the character is with Cobra and is going to join somebody else. Like what if it's Dana or
Oh, that's a good
Dinah?
shout. Yeah, Dinah.
And then the other thing I will say, and this is a really long shot, is that what if that character isn't actually part of Mars? Like the other poster just has Storm Shadow standing there.
Yeah, Snowjob isn't in the Arashikage, is he?
Right. And Snowjob's not a member of the Arashikage, as far as I know. Who knows? Maybe things are different. But this definitely gives me the vibe that this character is a part of that, the way that they're standing and not like back to back opposing each other.
Yeah.
You know, because Storm Shadow's kind of facing
Yeah.
away from the other characters.
That's a good point, actually. The other thing is the deco, that kind of like almost like black and red does sig or it's gray, I know, but that kind of like color does signify like Iron Grenadiers, doesn't it, a little bit? So, you know, could it be something like that? Again, it's fun to speculate this stuff because this could be just a brand new character as well. That's the other thing, isn't it? It could just be someone brand new, they're introducing them. I don't know, I think it's wicked.
I mean, he's the Cobra Sniper.
Yeah, you said long shot earlier on, and I forgot to say that that was a really good pun by accident. So this is a long shot, but I'm like, yeah, you're right. Maybe it's long shot. Maybe that's her code name, and that's the character. And we've accidentally stumbled upon it just by being idiots. Mark says there are several Scarlet spoiler covers that we've not yet seen, which presumably will be Storm Shadow covers. Yeah, we've seen actually. I'm pretty sure. Have we not seen a Storm Shadow cover already? I could have sworn I've seen a Storm Shadow on a Scarlet miniseries cover already. I could be wrong, but there are a lot of spoiler alert, kind of blacked out, censored comic covers that they've been kind of not sharing, but saying they'll be coming.
Yeah, Mark was also guessing. He has a few guesses that
Oh,
he's included.
Shooter, Blacklight, Iron Grenadier, gender swapped character like Blackout, Wraith, Firefly. Could be. Well, I would imagine they're probably going to stick to classified to some degree on that one. So I don't think it would be Firefly, but those other ones are good shouts, actually. You'd again, like I've got to say, I think I'm going to go with brand new character is what I'm going to go with. That's what I'm going to go with in my bet. If we were doing a betting thing here, Pat. What do you think? What are you going to go with? And then we'll see who's right at the end of all
Well,
this.
then you can't pick brand new character. I'm going to pick it's a brand new character, but it's different than the one you're thinking. It's
Oh,
going
I
to be the
like
one
it.
I'm thinking.
Is that what you're thinking though? If you're thinking brand new character? Okay.
I'm thinking brand new
In that
character.
case, we have to up the stakes and we have to guess the code name. And you've gone with
No, I haven't.
Go on. Go
No,
with what
you're
name
the
have you?
one who thought that it needs to be a specific code name. So you pick yours, and if it's anything but that, I'm right.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna in that I'm gonna okay, I feel like this is grossly balanced more to you here.
No, I'm it's gonna, totally even.
I'm gonna say, yeah, it's tipping your direction a little bit here. I'm gonna say the code name is Longshot, just so that if it is right, you gave me that name by accident.
There's no way that they would do that with the Marvel's Longshot existing out there.
Well, yeah, but it would be Steve Long Space Shot Terrence. That'll be the full name.
Yeah.
And I'll say Steve.
It'll be Longshot tipping the scales in Pat's direction.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, if I had to go with a code name, let's go with Red Spot.
Ooh, if it is that, I'm going to be so angry.
Because, you know, you could just reuse G.I. Joe names and it'd be fine.
Okay, I'm going to go with Rock and Roll then.
Okay.
No, a lot of people saying it's Cadet Deming, or Jody saying that. Raven says Pass the Prairie. Yeah, that's not a bad shout, actually.
Yeah, I like those ideas. I like that.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I like it. Strato Viper. Yeah, Night Raven. Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. Right, well, that's that. That's comics. 40 minutes worth of comic talk. I can't believe that's happened, but it has. We better move on pretty quick. Next up, we have a little bit of third-party news. Spoilers over, hat is removed, let's go for it. Hat-trick Stewart. Right then, Fans Hobby have revealed their first, actually, 1/12 scale vehicle. And it is obviously in the classic look of the G.I. Joe Skyhawk, and therefore obviously will fit classified figures. Has a number of different kind of features, including a hanging loop, a ratchet canopy and engines, and ratcheted joints. It has lighting effects and can fit pretty much most 1/12 scale figures. Also, one of the other features they named was easy assembly, which is quite fun. Now, Pat, I suppose as we're getting through this and looking at some of these images and stuff, first off, what do you think of, like, you know, these kind of third-party situations? I mean, I know you've got a lot of experience in knowing about them, obviously, with the Transformers line, and obviously being a fan of Transformers, it's been something that's very prominent in that fandom, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we really could go deep with the topic of quote-unquote third-party.
Yeah.
It's a little strange, because if you're an actual third party, you have some agreement with parties one and two, which they do not.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's definitely a misnomer that arose in, I think, in the Transformers community, really, is where the phrase third party first came up. And at the time, it was because of the fact that if people were listing something as a knockoff or bootleg on eBay would actually remove the listing. For a little while, eBay was doing that. So it was a little dodgy, you know. You make something and it hasn't actually been given a copyright strike or any sort of IP action against it. So you just list it as some funny name that doesn't actually say the name. Like, I doubt this will say Skyhawk.
No, not a chance.
Yeah. That way it's not directly connected. It won't have any G.I. Joe logos that come with it, but there may be a convenient sticker set that shows up online around the same time as this. And that's just kind of the nature of the game. It's not something that will be probably manufactured in the U.S. So it would be difficult for Hasbro to approach them to make such a thing stop. I'm not like trying to paint a negative picture. I will say
it's the truth, though, isn't
that, it? The word bootleg isn't actually meant to be a strike against quality of something.
Right, right.
To be determined to be a bootleg, it's not like there's nothing like that's a legal term, and there's nothing in the legal definition of what is a bootleg that pertains to the quality. You know, nobody goes and finds like a bootleg alcohol and goes, hey, this, which is where the term bootleg comes from, and goes, but this tastes great, so I guess it's official. You know what I mean? That, yeah, this is approved because it's good.
It tastes like it came out of a boot.
Yeah, but that's not what it pertains to.
Right, so, right.
It's people get offended if you use that phrase though, to identify things that qualify for the definition of not being officially licensed.
Yeah, unlicensed is a good way of describing it, I guess.
Unlicensed is probably the best way. And I'm not even saying that I've never bought things that are labeled third party. I have a few of them. The number one reason why I don't is because I don't have enough money to go around for all the official stuff that I want.
Right.
I do buy some of it here and there, and I particularly love add-on kits.
Yeah.
That's an addiction of mine. So I'm not going to be buying this because of the fact that I look at it and it's like, yeah, it's the Skyhawk. It's most definitely coming from Hasbro.
I mean, that's
the advantages.
That is a good point though, Pat. I mean, yeah. I cannot see a world where Hasbro don't do the Skyhawk in their current like line plan and what they're doing with the vehicles and the fact we're getting more of those kind of like mid-size kind of vehicles. There isn't a world I can think of where they do not do this officially.
Right. Yeah. It has to happen. Oh, and Patty is here to leave a comment. Fan Toys have done some amazing and illegal Transformers. Big fan of their masterpiece, Headmaster Juniors. Yeah, some of that stuff, it's going to be good quality. Yeah. Like I fully expect, like if you're looking at this and you're like, is it going to be junk? You know, these companies that are making things in this unofficial capacity have gained a name for themselves. And I think that this is, you can pretty much bet that this is going to be good. But I'm probably still not going to buy it.
Yeah,
I think that Hasbro will put out one. But the nice thing that has happened is that the unofficial Transformers stuff has kind of forced Hasbro and Takara Tomy into making sure that they stay on the top of their game. So
you know, it might have a similar effect,
Hasbro.
Yeah, you think it might have a similar effect with Hasbro.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some features that this one has that I personally wouldn't guess that Hasbro would put in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Lighting, for one.
The lighting, I think, is just not going to be there in the Hasbro one, personally. But we'll see.
Patty says, if they chrome this baby up, I'll get it, because I don't think Hasbro would do a Sky Patrol Skyhawk if and when they get to it. What's really interesting is a good, very good point, that, Patty. What's really interesting is that shout out to... who was it that I can't even remember who gave it to me now? Ryan Meltzer gave me a 3D printed Skyhawk for Classified Scale, and it's an absolute beauty. It's on my display in the background here, but it is so cool. And so I kind of feel like I have almost like a, it's like a fourth party. I have a fifth party Skyhawk, so I'm kind of good. But I do not see a world in which Hasbro don't do a Skyhawk. And yeah, if you want like lights and I don't know, I can't think of any other features that might be in here that they wouldn't do on the Hasbro version. But I feel like the lighting specifically, I don't think that will actually happen, because it's very, I mean, that to me, that's HasLab sort of territory. You're not going to get, we didn't get it with the Vamp, so you're not going to get it with the Skyhawk. But anyway, yeah, I got to say that I do like the look of it. I think it's very, very well done, like the detailing. And it's a good shot here, actually, the side of the, you can see like a lot of the panels and the kind of rivets and lots of different aspects and cuts and lines. Some nice little kind of touches on it. And I think when it's all decoed up, it's going to look really, really good. But yeah, like again, I probably won't be jumping on it. And again, it's not a knock on the quality or, you know, whatever it may be, the fact that it is third party, you know, I've dabbled in third party stuff in the past. I think it was the Rolling Thunder Prime I had a while back. I forget who did it now, the company, but it was literally that Rolling Thunder Optimus Prime and then the green one. So I got the green one and the Prime one, and they, you know, they're okay, but there's aspects of it that you're kind of like, that wouldn't have happened with an official release. You know, that wouldn't have happened with the official release. And there are, to some degree, sometimes a bit of a quality. There are quality issues involved in some of those releases that, you know, a bigger company could probably course correct, but like a smaller one can't, or like a one-man band or whatever it may be might have trouble doing, or it might add another year onto the development kind of process or what have you. But like I said, I have bought third-party stuff in the past. I'm no like angel in this. All I'm saying is it looks kind of cool. It's got some nice features. As you can see, it fits pretty much most 6-inch scale figures, if not all of them. They've probably picked like the biggest one and scaled it to that, haven't they? Is probably what they've done.
And that's what I'm going to guess. And that's what I was going to say is I kind of wonder if this will fit more of the figures than an official one maybe will.
It's a possibility.
It actually looks like there's a pretty thick wall on the cockpit there too. So
it does.
I'm going to guess that this one could actually end up being larger than a Skyhawk that would be released.
I think that's a really good point, actually. I also think that maybe an official one, you'd probably see that their feet go under into the nose. Like I could imagine there'd be like gaps under there where the feet would kind of tuck into. I could see that definitely. This Skyhawk being bigger than a one an official one that would come out. That's actually a really good point.
This one probably looks a lot more literally like the original one. That's also a possibility. I don't think that anyone who buys this is going to be disappointed. If you have the money for it and you're just doing classified and this is really exciting you, I would say go for it.
Definitely.
I'm not going to. There's some stuff that I have, like my third party Nightbird. Yeah, the masterpiece one that Takara Tomy ended up putting out later, I don't like as much because I don't want her to transform. I want her to look like she did in the show.
Yeah, definitely. So,
there's some stuff that I'm still like, you know, I get why people buy it and why they love it. And I get it. But at the same time, I think that we can expect a Skyhawk in the next few years. Yeah. I wouldn't even say next year necessarily, but I would say it's on the short list.
Definitely. It has to be. It's one of very few mid-size vehicles that makes sense for them to do that. Do you know what I mean? A couple of things coming up here. Price point. We don't have a price point for it yet, but I imagine it's going to be quite expensive. What about this little feature though, Pat? This is quite cute. The fact we've got a little kind of hanging hook here for, you know, like displaying from the ceiling sort of thing. And I have to say that they've done really well in getting the balance right here for something like this.
Yeah, and it's not ugly being there either. You know, that thing, that little loop being there just kind of looks like it's part of the design of the vehicle. So if you weren't hanging it, it's not going to be like a gigantic loop on top that looks strange.
Yeah, totally. And also, obviously, we don't have a figure in there at the moment, so you can't really see how the balance would be affected. But it might be quite cool, like leaning forward a little bit. With a figure inside it, but again, that's
a good point. Yeah,
they'll probably have to work that out at some point. But anyway, I quite like that, and it's quite impressive to get the balance so on point there, because you know that is not an easy feat for something like this, which is a weird shape, has different kind of sizes at the end and the at both ends, different things going on with it, so you have to kind of counterbalance that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's quite cool. Okay, I think that's pretty much everything. The only other thing to talk about is the lighting. Now, it has like multiple different lights in this one. So it has like a interior cockpit that lights up with the console. It has a kind of light at the back. It has a light on the kind of like a green light that kind of strobes almost, not very fast, but does kind of like repeat, kind of flashes basically. to kind of signify that very real, that very realistic thing you see on aircraft at night, to make it very clear that they're there. Don't fly near us. Don't come near us. What do you think of the lighting on this one?
I think that's going to set it apart from the Hasbro one, but I'd also mentioned add-on kits earlier, and there's been some really good add-on kits for Lego sets that are made specific for a set. Like the people that make lights are like, okay, you have the haunted house. Here's a kit that's made specific for that, so that you have as many lights as you're going to need, and you can space them as you would.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if somebody could start doing add-on kits for the existing Hasbro ones, because I don't think that a Skyhawk would come with lighting, but, you know, wouldn't it be great if somebody was out there working on an add-on kit for the Vamp, for example?
Yeah, big time.
That you could change it out and everything would be lit. That'd be neat.
It'd be lit. Be lit, bruv. Definitely. No, I have to agree with that. I do like lighting. Don't get me wrong. I love the lighting effect on the Hiss tank. And the fact that when you open the back canopy up, the interior light comes on like it's a car. Like it's legit. Like it's like, or it kind of just bloom comes on. I love that. But to me though, I feel that lives in HasLab. I feel like if they start doing that at retail, the price point's going to go up.
Which
everyone loves. Everyone loves it when the price points go up. sarcasm, if you didn't know. And like, I don't like it when the price points go up either. But like, you know, that would definitely elevate things. But I don't need lights on all the vehicles. That really, you know, it's not like I'm going. It would be very cool though in a display, you know, to have a certain like darkly lit room and then the displays all lit up. That's kind of awesome, and that would be kind of fun. But at the same time, it's going to take a while before you get all the vehicles that light up in it. Let's face it, we've got one at the moment, or two technically when the Dragonfly gets here. So I think leave that for HasLab for now, and everything else you can just backlit in your display. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm fine with that personally.
Yeah, but I really would like to see somebody work on making a kit that makes
kits are cool.
You to add lights as you will,
especially if it didn't like, you know, it didn't
require you to
disfigure the vehicle or change the silhouette or break, you know, something like that where it could be like, you know, you have to. This other thing's needed for it as a power pack, and it has to go somewhere, and you have to remove the engine for it. You know, things like that. It can be a little bit of a pain. But anyway. Off topic, how cool was that RoboSend Megatron? It looks amazing. But again, that's a little bit beyond me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't have any of those. I kind of just assume that they will continue to improve and continue to release some of them across the next 10 years. And
until a real Megatron Prime exists
at, you know, pennies on the dollar, maybe then I will afford one. But right now, no RoboSend in my future.
They're going to keep doing it until they've built real Megatron and Prime. And that's where Skynet take over. And that's it. We're done. I might be mixing up. I might be mixing up my metaphors there, but anyway, that is the Skyhawk from Fans Hobby. Very interesting. We'll kind of keep a close eye on where this goes, really. But I mean, I could, you know, there's multiple ways this could go, and I could also see it not happening. But then, you know, I see like what, you know, like Ryan and Toy are doing, and I see a lot of their stuff kind of like coming out and happening. Like Bravestar figures kind of looks amazing. And that's been kind of doing the rounds recently. But I'm surprised that hasn't had some sort of like IP infringement sort of C&D or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they've posted that they've had C&Ds in the past, but they still sometimes work around it. So I don't know. You're dealing with international stuff here, and that's the part of it that's difficult for them to crack down on. I mean, right. I've heard it in the past, like the Lego factories that are unofficial, getting cracked down on. But and actually, I'm pretty sure that one of the Lego factories that was shut down caused some of the Transformers, unofficial Transformers stuff, to also be halted. But you know, this stuff is going to pop up here and there either way. I don't know. I think so far it hasn't really stopped people. And I do think that this is the other plus is this must be a sign that the line is still doing so well that other people kind of want to get in on on the making of stuff. So it's kind of a weird spot for a weird and interesting but fun, almost kind of like nice sign of where G.I. Joe is right now.
Totally. Like, yeah, you know? there's a kind of like like a despicable kind of like scandalous edge to it. But then at the same time you think, yeah, but if it wasn't doing well, we wouldn't have this. Nothing would be going on. Like, you know,
right. It's like that mimicry is, you know, the best form of flattery. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I guess they're doing something right because now other companies are trying to jump in.
Totally, totally. Right then, well, let's get on to our next news segment, which is classified raptor parts. Gross. Yes, so courtesy of Joey Finnell, who posted images of a classified raptor, upcoming SDCC exclusive classified raptor prototype or pre-production, we'll say, pre-production parts for the head sculpt of raptor, the head gear, a shoulder feathery secondary, that's fun to say, and one, if not the, or one of his falcons as well. So first off, Pat, what did you think when you first saw this come through? How did the visual take you?
Well, I was really focused on the necklace that it has going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of how that's constructed as part of these feathers, as well as the face and how the headdress looks.
And how do you feel about those things?
I think it all looks good. I think it's you know, he has like something covering his chest now, which is not something the original figure did or the original look of the character did.
Yeah. But
it doesn't have to look exactly like that.
It looks like they're going for something a little bit more. Yeah, like you say that this secondary here is like an evolution of that first figure, sort of like shoulder feathery kind of things, isn't it? It's like he had like a little bit molded onto the shoulders, but it doesn't go very far. It's really just kind of an addition to the backpack wings sort of thing, but molded on the figure in a sense. So like this one, they've definitely taken that to a different level. Does it maybe give you an idea of what we might see wing fashion wise? Do you think we're going to get like feathers, or do you think we're going to get like kind of very brutalist sci-fi stealth ghillie suit kind of vibes?
Oh, I don't think that we're going to get the... I never thought that we were going to get the stealth sci-fi version.
Right.
That was kind of, you know, just the club using what parts were available yeah. in order to make that figure happen.
I will say is a good figure, though. I do like that figure.
It is a good figure, but, you know, it's not... it's not a ground-up recreation. Obviously, no. They even used a retooled... original sculpt for the cowl,
yeah,
or whatever you want to call his hat that he's wearing. I'm trying to find. Isn't there there's a raptor on one of the Find Your Fate books? Isn't there?
Oh my god, that artwork is absolutely beautiful.
There it is.
It's one of my favorite pieces of artwork. I even used it for the Let's Talk Classified Raptor graphic. When I did the video for that, it's one of my favorites. Earl Norum is it as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, and I was trying to look it up just so that I could make sure, because sometimes the Find Your Fate books have a little bit of a different look to the characters.
Yeah.
And no, he still has like the bare chest on there, so it's a little bit different. And I mean, does this leave open the possibility that we could get a retro
raptor
later?
I think when you get deluxe figures, I think you can sort of expect to see them in some capacity again. Now, whether that might be in the case of Tripwire, where you just got a Tiger Force version, or where you see, I'm going to throw Snowjob out there. We don't know he's coming as retro, but I would be surprised if we didn't get a retro Snowjob at some point, because we've got a deluxe one, and some people might just want a standard cheaper snow job. So yeah. I totally understand that, right? Snow Serpent is probably the better kind of obvious one to kind of talk about there. So I think personally, I think we could definitely see something like a kind of more pared down, more vintage accurate, you know, the different, like where the deluxe one comes with these beautiful wings, and then the retro one could come with the crap wingsuit that looks terrible. That looks like it's been made at home by someone's parents for an event at a school, that sort of vibe. Someone's wondering if they will have soft goods, says RKW, actually. That is actually a good shout, isn't it, really? Because,
like,
it could be soft goods. Here's me thinking he's going to get some sort of, like, big-ass kind of, like, sexy wing kind of thing going on. Look like Angel or something. Angel. And it's, like, it's funny, isn't it? It's, like, Angel will look like regular Raptor and Archangel will look like FSS Raptor from the club. That's how it would work. I have to say, I do not know what to expect still.
Yeah, I still don't know what to expect, because as I'm thinking of, like, just the opportunity for soft goods, they could manage to find something that looks kind of like feathers to, like, layer and sew together.
That would be amazing.
And fit on his back. I mean, I really don't know. They could go even just the cloth with a wire frame in it to make it easy, or a plastic rods in part of it to make it articulate. I really don't know.
I haven't got a clue. And I'm really excited to see what comes out of this, honestly. And I don't know. This is one of my most highly anticipated figures, because it's just so bonkers. It just might work, Pat. Like, this thing is so ridiculous. It just might work in the classified kind of scale. But I'm going to move on this particular image to talk about another thing you mentioned there, that kind of necklace aspect. Because obviously it's a whistle, isn't it, effectively, what we're usually dealing with here. I don't know if that bit of plastic is just there as a sort of like holding it together from, like, when it's printed or when it's cast or whatever, and then it's removed. I don't know if that's something that's ever done. Like, to keep the shape or something, I don't know.
Plastic between the two.
Yeah,
don't think so.
Okay, yeah, it probably is something that keeps it together, because we've seen it already with Naugahyde. With who else have we seen it with?
We've seen that with Naugahyde.
Yeah, like he's got his. Oh no, he's got two separate things, hasn't he? Does he have two separate things? I'm going to have to just double check that again.
You mean like something connecting the vest? Did we see that in a test shot from?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, the test shot is what I was getting at.
Actually, it's... had a connecting piece on the vest. I mean,
yeah, the Naugahyde...
You have to watch how the plastic flows. So maybe, but it just would seem weird to me that it's also coincidentally in that almost a V shape that is what the necklace would look like.
So the test shot for Naugahyde, no, there were separate pieces. The vest is separate, the necklace is separate. So that's nice and clear. The actual Naugahyde is probably, I'm assuming, is the same situation. I think it is. I think I'm getting confused with the fact that the there are two kind of necklace kind of pieces, but I believe they might both be separate, actually. But anyway, yeah, they're all separate. So I think I was just getting confused with what the test shot was showing us, but the test shot was the same thing.
Yeah. Putting this in there and then just painting it would be a nice way of keeping it from, like, rising too high up, or the two of them fighting to be which one's going to be under the other. I think that if you're going to put the necklace on there, which they probably should, this is the way to go. So that's kind of just what I'm thinking it is.
No, I think that's totally, totally valid. And I could see that. The angle, it's funny, the angle at this image is you can't see if it's a whistle or not. I think it might be. The thing I would say, actually, Pat, is it surprises me that they don't reuse things that I think are perfectly fine to reuse. And that's, like, you know, you've got the Sergeant Slaughter whistle. Like, just paint that red and it works, does it not?
Well, I mean... Is it a whistle that he has in the original figure? I don't think so.
Well, I think I just always assumed that. And I think then in the FSS, they just reused a whistle, didn't they? They did the same thing. They just made it a whistle.
I don't know. It always put me in mind of what Scooby-Doo wears, that like that sideways square. You're thinking whistle. I look at it and think Scooby-Doo.
Oh, that is phenomenal. Okay. Oh, that's amazing. I love that, Pat.
There's two things I want to know, though. Is this the only bird?
Probably.
And what's the bird's name? Like, are we going to get a name for the bird? I like to think that the bird's named after, like, accounting stuff. Like, this is Raptor with EBITDA.
you are aware that Talon is the original name of the bird,
right? Oh, is it? I've actually forgotten that. Where's that come from?
We've had this conversation as well on the show.
I know we've had conversations,
and you've forgotten about this again. It's not surprising. Lots of people do say this to me and they go, no, it's not, you're totally gaslighting me. And I'm like, no, trust me. If you go on the side text on the bubble or next to the, you know, the bubble on the figure, the original vintage figure.
Okay.
It says, you know, like, what is it? Falcon and then Talon
I've forgotten that again.
So Talon was the original name for his one single bird, but that doesn't mean he can't have Talon, EBITDA, Blimmin. What was the one I was going to say? TurboTax. In fact, if one was EBIT, one was Talon and one was Turbo, I could deal with that. That would be perfect, wouldn't it? Just let's get like little homages in there. Excel would be a good name for one of them.
Quicken, go find the joke.
Spreadsheet. We could go on and on with this one, couldn't we? Manila folder. No, like that's enough. Right. I think that's hilarious. Mark says two birds, profit and loss.
Yeah.
One of them is really good and the other one just can't find its way home ever. And it's not the ones you think it is. amazing. It's going to have more stuff, obviously. These are just, pre-production pieces that have just kind of snuck out on the old dark web. I have to agree with you, Matt. I think we're going to get more birds. But before we get to the birds part, am I the only one that sees Arnold Schwarzenegger here? I feel like I mentioned this to you before and you were like, you didn't really respond. So I'm wondering if I'm the only person that sees Arnold.
Well, I just wanted to say no on camera, that's all. No, I don't disagree. I'm not exactly getting that. I just wanted to turn you down and have everybody witness it, that's all.
Constantly.
I get that. I'm not disagreeing with you. You know, he looks like he's a muscly dude, so maybe they were kind of thinking that.
I think it's like these like little shapes and lines in the kind of cheekbones and around the mouth.
Well,
kind
of... he definitely has like that bit of muscle right around here, around the lower part of his mouth.
Yeah,
it almost pulls the corners of his mouth down.
Yeah,
and then that sharp chin that's flat on the bottom that is very Arnold-like, and then the cheekbones. So yeah, it is there.
And the bird.
I don't know if that's really what they were going for. What?
And the bird hat that he's really well known for wearing all the time.
Right, that he wears all the time. To every Planet Hollywood release in the 90s.
I'm gonna Photoshop that on his head on loads of old images and be like, see guys, I told you. Amazing. So yeah, I don't know. I do like the details they've got going here. I think the feather effect is beautiful. I think they've done a really good detailed job on the feather kind of like alignment and how it's not all symmetrical and the same. It's like there's definitely like some difference and some, you know, variation in there. So I'm really interested in how they've done that. The actual bird part at the top as well is a lot smaller than the original, as you can see here. They've kind of gone, I think, with a more comic style vibe on the classified version.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. They've definitely toned that down, like how big of a tall hat it is.
Yeah, big time. Again, like this was just to really kind of show, you know, the two next to each other to kind of get a vibe of what was going on. And here are all three of the kind of like raptors that made it out.
Oh, there's where you're getting the whistle.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's where I was kind of pulling that from. And I think that, again, I think that would have made a lot of sense, like a bird whistle or something, you know, like it kind of makes sense to me. But, you know, you think he's a Scooby-Doo fan and he's just rocking a Scooby-Doo necklace. Amazing. Amazing. He's got, you know, I've never really noticed this before, but I'm seeing like sorceress, Taylor. Oh,
yeah.
I'm seeing that
really,
now.
I don't know why I never really thought about the sorceress.
Me neither. But now that's all I can see in my head.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, and then we've got the bird. Now this looks to be fixed position, like a, you know, like a poly sort of vibe. That doesn't mean we're not going to get more birds. I think we might be seeing here multiple birds in multiple poses. What do you think?
I think you could be correct. And this looks like it's two different colors, right? There's the lower half that is black and the upper half that is brown, and it looks like the upper half has that permanent blind on, right?
Yeah, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that comes off on the 3 3/4 inch one, but maybe on the 6 inch one does not. That'd be a little weird, but...
Well, I think what they might be going for is, this is something that might have just came to me. Maybe they're doing it so that you've got one that's permanently in that position with the blind on that goes on like the stand, for example, right? And then if you've got other birds that maybe have articulation, have removable options and stuff like that, that can do other things, or maybe just different poses of different birds, and you can just mix and match or have them all at the same time, or, you know, like, so it's, you are getting the visual differences there. You're just not getting a figure that you can articulate as such.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think I think we talked about that being an option that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. Scooby-Doo reference, and Chris doesn't shout out, shug it. There you go. I've done it now, Johnny. Right. So I think that's pretty much it. Then we've got this little section, which I just wanted to kind of like see both of those original figures to maybe like give us an idea. I just don't think we're going to see anything like either of these with this classified version. I feel like the wings vibe is probably going to be something we've probably never seen before. I think it might follow the pattern on the first one in the fact that you've got the kind of smaller feathers at the top and then they kind of get bigger and larger and then flay out into bigger feathers, obviously. I just don't know what to expect. Are we going to get like sort of like the ones we've seen with Marvel Legends where we see like, you know, big kind of like, you know, bird-like wings? Or are we going to see something that is like a wingsuit, for example, that is more like what the actual original character wears?
Yeah, well, I'm going to guess that he's going to have some ability to hold on to the wings so that it can look like he is articulating them. It's not going to be like they will be mounted to his back like Angel or anything.
Maybe
like that.
Maybe clipped on his wrist.
Clipped to his wrist, yeah. I don't know. Or maybe a handle that he can reach up and grab. And maybe it will look like, you know, he can reposition them or something. I don't know. I'm sure that that's... that all these things that we're saying are things that were discussed ages ago.
Yeah.
At Hasbro, and they figured out, like,
how do we do this? And then everyone just was like, I don't know. Well, it's just be Lenny talking to himself, probably. Interestingly, you get a nice insight into that process with Lenny and Emily and Tony when I interviewed them. That's ready to go, and I'll be posting it soon, probably this weekend. So keep an eye out for that. Right, that's pretty much it for Raptor. Are you excited for this one, Pat?
Yeah, actually, I kind of am, because of the fact that it's such a crazy character to begin with. To see them tackle this is going to be fun throughout, you know, getting these little bits at a time is enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like this.
It kind of adds even more mystery to it when you see these different parts, doesn't it? Yeah. Joey says, looking forward to that. Joey, if you have any more images, please send them our way. We want to see what's going on here, mate. anyway, okay, so that is pretty much all from Raptor. Now, we do have Pat's favourite part. This hasn't changed, so he'll be happy to know we don't have to linger on this page for very long. Nothing has changed there. 2025 listings have changed slightly, but I haven't updated the graphics yet. But I will be able to tell you a few things about these listings. Now, in the past, I have mentioned that the TT designation appeared to be all Pulse or PulseCon exclusives. We can now say that is not 100% the case, as two of those TT designations have turned out to be something else, a different channel. So we'll be updating that on Monday, and I'll be going through the details of those changes on Monday for you guys.
Do you have a graphic for all of the abbreviations and what you think they are?
No, I just talk about it whenever I get on here. Okay. So I'll tell you now, SS in this particular situation is the standard retail wave of four. BB is when it's a deluxe that comes with that particular wave of four figures, like in the past we've had Snow Serpent and Tripwire, those kind of figures where it's like an all sort of you can get it anywhere channel deluxe figure, right? That is BB designation. SP and GG we believe are specifically targeting Walmart, but we don't know for sure. And then TT did seem to appear to be all Pulse, but that has changed ever so slightly. And like I said, we'll be updating that on Monday for you guys. Sorry to keep you waiting on that one, but I have to put it all together and make it make sense. And then Legacy, obviously, is the new name for 60th. And of course, Retro speaks for itself. That's literally all you need to know at this stage, I think.
Okay.
There you go. But that's a good idea, actually. I should do like a little graphic that has like a key, maybe a little key zone that kind of explains what they all are. But yeah, that's that. Of course, the selfie series listings, we don't just, it's the same. Nothing's changed. We just think, I think planning can move on. Name only reveals are still the same. Unfortunately, we didn't get any name only reveals in our interview with the Hasbro team. So spoiler alert for that one. But it's basically they're too far ahead. They said to me that they would have loved to have done a name-only reveal, but they have done so many recently that it is a case of, they're too far ahead of the game. So they have to, like, hold fire a little bit. So the next name-only reveals will probably come soon, but probably be in, like, either June or unless they do some sort of, like, Dragonfly update or something like that. We'll see, I guess. There was also no Dragonfly update because that has to be for backers first. So if they do a Dragonfly update, it has to go through the actual channels for backers to receive that information first. Right then. That's that. That also relates to the Dragonfly team. Unofficial leaks have not changed, so that's pretty much as far as we are along. Right then, let's move on then, Pat. And do shout outs.
Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organizing it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding.
Yes, Stanley just said, why not reorganize them in wave release blocks? It's because we don't know which ones go with which, mate. That's why. The standard release four figures on the left-hand side of that previous image, they're in order, but we don't know what deluxe goes where. I would have done otherwise. Also, no news on Nightforce Crazy Legs, correct? No news yet, Eben, not at all. Chris, did you think the dog bone pins on the HMS are going to fit the blast effects from the Dragonfly? I don't know. I imagine so. They'll all probably work together, won't they?
I don't know. I'm not sure which blast effects from the Dragonfly use the dog bone pins. I can't remember.
See, because they've got those huge blast effects that come off the back of the...
Oh, that's right. So that you can have it forward while the blast effect is actually attached.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd imagine
I don't know. That's a good question.
I would imagine so. Because, I mean, again, like they're probably going to use like... I know they haven't always used universal connectors for everything, but there's a bit of information about that in the interview. But I don't, yeah, that's a good question. That's I wish I'd known really about that beforehand because I'd have asked them.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh,
maybe
Mark
still
said,
time to ask.
Mark said,
I would say, like, bookmark that one in your brain.
Yeah.
Next time there's an opportunity because that's a really good question.
Mark said something about saving them for their favorite interviewers. I hate you, Mark. That's so mean. amazing. Right, yeah. So there you go. Shout outs. Take us away, buddy. You're first up.
Oh, shout out to Philip. We were just talking a few hours ago, actually. And yes, far behind. I've been way too busy. So we're going on month like five of Philip carrying the team, and it's probably going to be all up to him this month. So 6 days left, Philip. Sorry about that, but I'm formulating some plans myself already for next month so that I can get ahead. I just have other stuff to do, and hopefully we'll be able to juggle all of my tasks in life.
Phil's got a really bad back from having to carry articulated points.
That's why he has the Superman shirt on.
go check out articulated points in the description. Link in the description below, guys, please. And thank you. Go sub, go watch. There's some great videos on there. Do it now. Right then, next
Is that
up.
Raptor thing now?
That was Raptor. That was Arnold Schwarzer Raptor. Massive shout out to my lovely wife, Kate, and little Phoebes. We've been busy this week, and we're going to be busy this weekend. So we're going to have to wrap this up pretty soon. Yeah, and also massive shout out to our UK and US families. We've got everyone coming to visit over the next couple of months, so we're really excited to start having people stay over. We've been having to get like furniture for rooms. Pat, I hate being an adult sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, having to fill rooms with things so that people can actually, you know, use them. Seems
well,
weird.
I have to do the opposite because I have so much junk around. I need to clean the room things from the rooms in order to have people.
I just thought these rooms were places to put lots of storage boxes. That's all I thought rooms were.
I'm glad you're not seeing the rest of this room right now because it's a lot of storage boxes. And I was trying to find various books. So right over there, there's stack of Toy Fair catalogs, stack of G.I. Joe reference books. Paddy and Brian's books are right there.
I'm going to say Paddy and Brian were there, like just stacked
no,
up.
They're not here. But yeah, I need
Amazing.
To get, need to get my life in order, but I also need to get something up on articulated points next month.
That's more important, let's face it. Get that done, get that up there. Anyway, yeah, massive shout out to the fams and, of course, my lovely wife, Kate. Now, it's a massive shout out to Brian, who just sent me even more graphics. So thank you very much, Brian. Really appreciate that, bud. Of course, related to Brian and his amazing graphics for the show, Assembly Required, just to give you another heads up, is the 13th annual in-person G.I. Joe convention in Des Moines. And, of course, it is on the 8th and 9th of November this year. So more information to come for that. In the meantime, though, we've got a little lead-up going on for Operation Armor, which just revealed the theme of Eco Warriors very recently. So massive shout out to the team of Brian and everyone that work on Operation Armor and AR. And of course, Pat, this leads into you, my good man, because also revealed for Armor 4, or Operation Armor 4, is that Joe Declassified are doing a very special kind of panel. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
That's the thing that I've referenced took up so much of my time at the beginning of the year. This really is kind of the work of Chris Murray. He has been, this particular topic is one that he's been building up to for a long time. And so It was just my task to take all of Chris Murray's knowledge and bottle it.
My goodness.
And deliver it to you. So that is not an easy task. And
all of his knowledge.
Not all of his knowledge, just what he was putting out there. And it was like, yeah, Chris, this isn't all going to fit within an easy amount of time. So I just tried to make it work. But it'll be fun. We're going to have a good Operation Armor.
Whereas if you tried to bottle my knowledge up and put it in a show, it would be one of those like 60-second TikTok videos. it'd be a lot easier. Amazing. No, but can't wait for this and really excited to see what you guys have planned. Codename Iowa in the chat said, spill the beans, Pat.
Well, it's what beans did I not spill? It's going to be maybe something eco-related that, well, I really appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be eco-related. And maybe we sat down and talked for several nights for 5 hours at a time.
Oh my God. How long is the final scenario? Are we talking?
It's going to be you probably should be prepared to sit down for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
That's not bad. I was expecting 55 hours of pure Pat.
Well, that's
Murray.
Just the declassified part. There's going to be, I think, other stuff happening.
Oh yeah, totally. That's a good point. I just thought it was going to be the Chris and Pat show all for the entire.
No, we've made our contribution, and it was a lot of fun, but it was also a lot of work. I just didn't want to see anything because Murray's put so much work into researching eco warriors that I didn't want to give a code listing, Pat. Yeah, I'm not going to start giving code names to things.
Pat started the declassified series, and it's just going to be all code words from now on. That's amazing.
But yeah, he's put so much work into tracking down eco stuff that I didn't want that to go encapsulated at some point. So I was happy to help do that.
I also love, I've got to say, I love the background that Brian chose for the eco warriors thing.
Yeah, like absolutely. That is like a fresh, really cool. It looks right for eco warriors. Like that's what should be on a package or something.
Yeah, big time. I think it's also it looks as if slime has sneezed all over the place, basically. Love it. It's great. Really into it. Yeah, cool. Also, massive shout out to Skeletron. And they revealed that for JoeFest, they're going to be doing a special variant carded Skeletron figure with card back art by Doug Hart as well, which is awesome. And it's really nice looking. I like this. I'm sure you're going to have to pick one of these up, aren't you, Pat?
Yeah, I think I will pick one of these up. I mean, I already have the figure, but it's worth having it carded both ways. I think that they just did an outstanding job. This figure, I'm so excited about it. It feels so good to look at that figure, and it feels like vintage G.I. Joe again.
It really does.
You know, officially G.I. Joe here. It's worth having. And I should say also that I did buy two of them already and open one up and swap the heads so that I could have a Skeletron as well as a...
I'm going to be getting this just so I don't have to do that. That's laziest thing ever, isn't it? Like, seriously.
Somebody did it for you already? Yeah,
it's already been done.
Well, I appreciated seeing how it was constructed from the inside while I was doing that, though, too.
I knew you would. I knew you absolutely would. Yeah. I remember just one fateful couple of days when I was living in the UK many moons ago, and I was like, right, time to fix all my O-rings. And I went through my entire childhood collection just like switching out O-rings, and it was amazing. Wow. Like some of them I'm like, this is still perfect, this O-ring. How is that the case? How is this one that was bought in like, you know, the mid 80s or whatever, how the hell is this like still intact? And yet this one that was like, you know, maybe later in the line, or maybe I picked it up, like, you know, whatever, is like literally hanging from itself. Like, it's so crazy. But yeah, I switched out a lot of those. And that was, it was satisfying, but it took ages. Cause there were hundreds of figures. So anyway, yeah, so I'm happy that Skeletron have done this, so I don't even have to bother getting mine out. Lovely stuff. And also, massive shout out to Dan Klingensmith Jr. for his creating G.I. Joe Real American Hero volumes 14 and 15, still up on Kickstarter. And I think we're down to the last, was it 39 hours or something, Pat?
Yeah, what would that be? Like maybe at midnight Pacific on Sunday, maybe is whenever it ends, I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so you have until then, and currently it is at 39,000, and I think we need to hit 44 in order to get the slipcover for all the volumes included. So about, you know, $4,500 still to go to get the unlock, but is already funded. So if you go on there and pledge for a book, the book is coming.
That's brilliant. Congratulations to Dan on that one again for getting these. Yeah. I mean, these always, yeah, the books, two of them. Dan, like, I mean, these always kind of quickly get to the goal. It really is about getting those little extras and those little kind of add-ons. So congratulations, Dan. Again, officially licensed, official Hasbro license on this one as well. So again, really awesome stuff. And always interesting as well. I find myself very often, honestly, especially when I'm doing this Let's Talk Classified videos, going into his books and just having a look and seeing what, you know, like what there is on that particular character to talk about. And I'll reference it in the video. I'll talk about Dan's book, show the image and all that kind of stuff and what have you. So I've been really using them a lot. So they're really good, awesome reference material. And it's funny as well. Like, I feel like I don't necessarily sit down and read them cover to cover. It almost feels like a library thing where I go in and I grab it and I go, oh, that character, I'm pretty sure that's in Dan's book. And I go to it and I read it there. That's where I soak that information in, like in more piecemeal amounts. And then I go back and run that process again when another thing pops up, sort of thing. So it's one of those ones where I definitely use it as reference material as opposed to kind of like, you know, rinsing through it all. Really good stuff. Now, we did a live interview with Brian Hickey yesterday on the channel where we talked about his amazing Battle Action Force reprint kind of announcement. And we went into the details of what to expect and you know, what's coming and all that kind of stuff. So you can check that out on our channel, you know, as soon as this is over, basically. And also, massive shout out to Brian, by the way, for winning an award for My Palatoy Story at the Island Print Awards. They got a silver award for that particular book, which I have to say is absolutely superb, by the way. Like, it's a really, I mean, Bob Breakin, obviously, hugely involved in that. It's his book. It's Bob's, you know, story, basically. But they got an award for it. It just goes to show how good that book is. In actual fact, I've got it right here. And it is an absolute beautiful masterpiece of a bit of print here. And it really is, like, you know, the stuff in here is just phenomenal. And you get stuff like this, Pat, which I know you love. These kind of like official sort of like, you know, what they call like the trademark things they do. The
schematic.
The schematic with all like the different, when they go and get the trademarks done and the, and all that patent. Stuff. Patents. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. You should know that name. You should know that word, Pat, because you're in it. You can't have patent without Pat, really, can you? But then you get like these really cool, like factory images as well. From back in the day, it's gorgeous, and obviously it's about Bob's story of the entire Palatoy kind of life and everything and the whole its entire kind of history, and it's absolutely fantastic. So well done to Bob, to Brian, to the team involved, and congratulations on getting a silver award at the Irish Print Awards. That's amazing. Now, also, massive shout out to Paul Pamphilone of Plastic Battles, who is still sneaking out these amazing images. This one follows like a narrative, basically, of Tiger Force and Rokondo and Outback, and now we're getting Bazooka getting thrown in there. How nice are these Dio shots, mate? They're so good, aren't they?
Yeah, this one looks really great. It does kind of make me want to bivouac.
Absolutely. Any of those little sets, I would love. Like, you know, all those kind of like the Forward Observer and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that would be so dope.
And I like that they're just coming across Bazooka relaxing.
Yeah. He's clearly aware of his surroundings, Bazooka, there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Really good. I love how he does this. Like, go check Paul out on Instagram and go Plastic Battles, at Plastic Battles. And he does Thursday night kind of like live videos on Instagram where he talks about the process and the dyes and shots and all that kind of stuff. So you get like a nice kind of idea of what Paul actually does with these. This dio set that he's got going on here, the dio is huge, and he only uses a very small aspect of it to get that shot, but then obviously it just gives you that scale. It gives you a real like beautiful amount of depth, and it's just really, really good. I love the work he does. So yeah, massive shout out to Paul. And also Kickly, there you go, Pat. Are you going to say it or shall I say it?
Yeah, well, before we started and Chris was just kind of rinsing through what was going to be in the episode for the day, he said, that's the best Snake Eyes.
I didn't, did I? I said, this is the best one that Kickley's done so far because of the bug.
No, you said this is the best one so far. And Kickley's pointing to who? Snake Eyes version 3.
You're an idiot. Oh, this is just going to go on forever and ever, isn't it? This is just going to last for infinite time. I tell you what is my favorite on here, though, is Storm Shadow version 2. That is pretty dope. I mean, this whole like scene is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, Rogue Pig, Big Boa, Nunchuck in there as well. I'm assuming it's a Secto Viper, but it could be anyone really in that bubble. But yeah, amazing stuff, and love it very much. More great work from Kickley. Go check him out, of course, on all of his socials. And that is it. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of the Full Force Weekly. Pat, thank you very much, buddy, for jumping on again, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, as always, for having me on. It's always fun.
Definitely. We'll be back next week, of course. And of what else is happening? We've got the Hasbro interview dropping this weekend. We've got loads more content coming for you. Obviously, there'll be more news in the week, and I'm sure I'll be going live quite often. And yeah, hope you enjoy the Hasbro interview. And yeah, and I hope you've enjoyed all the other stuff we've been doing recently. That's it. Stay fresh, cheese bags. And after three, you know what to do. Well, I think you do, Pat. It's been a week. You might have forgotten in that time. After three, one, two, three.
Full force.
Bye.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on X, formerly Twitter, at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. We've also added a brand new Instagram, so check us out there as well, at The Full Force Podcast. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on any of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.